Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Good morning and welcome to Core Finance. This morning I'm joined by Brian Noble, who is the founder of TraderNoble.com.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you for having me.
With markets over in the US at all-time highs, the S&P reaching levels we've never seen before, where do we go from here?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. It is central bank, controlled markets. It's just so hard to be short. Normally when we come to a September, October frame, the markets sell off. But here we are, we're just making new highs almost every day. S&P had 8 record high closes up to last Thursday. Even all the sell-offs are very, very small. The VIX is trading with a 9 handle, which we haven't really seen before on a sustained basis. It broke an all-time low at 920 last Thursday. And we have a record number, 172,000 contracts in the VIX index short. And you can't sell this market. I think as long as the S&P can hold this 2505 area, which is the level we broke out from last month, it's very, very difficult to short this market.
Well, it's an interesting point you raise, and obviously going into the US earnings season, as we spoke about off air, you would suggest that the companies reporting to maintain the positive sentiment and the drive forward in the US especially, those companies reporting will have to be pretty strong. It's obviously a very different situation that we have over in the European markets, the UK, FTSE, etc. But there's a lot to keep traders interested.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we can get see volatility pick up again. But as you've seen before, every time the VIX spikes, it might spike up to 18, 19, 20, and then a week later it's back down to low teens and then back to 10, 9 again. It's very, very difficult in the central bank, as I mentioned earlier, controlled markets. I think Yellen's just trying to get the February unscathed. Doesn't want a crash on her watch. The S&P broke its second standard deviation when Trump got elected at 22.40. Here we are trading at 25.50. The third standard deviation is at 27.92. Are we going to replicate the Japanese situation in 1988 and go above that? I'm a bear. I think there's no wage inflation. It's very, very difficult to buy this market. But when you look at the QE and how low the bond yields are, people are just chasing yield. It's incredible.
Well, again, it would appear that traders or investors just don't want to be out of the market. There are tentative buyers up here. Of course, we are at extreme levels, if you like, but it would appear that the trade to be is just to be maintain invested, but keep an eye on the levels. And as you say, the S&P, looking at the historics and the standard deviation, etc., and see whether or not when the time is to pull the trigger to pull out. But when could that be, I suppose, is a question that everyone's wondering.
Yeah, well, I think, from my point of view, I think we need to see a sell extreme that lasts for more than a week. We haven't had that yet. Every sort of sell-off has just immediately been bought by buyers. They just keep buying the dip. If you go back to September, when we were trading back down to 24.21 was the low. June and July was 24.05 and 03 were the respective lows, and the 200-day moving average is 23.90. So there's big levels below that the market has to break before we can start getting bearish. And at the moment, the path of least resistance is to the top side. Do you buy the market today? No, I wouldn't personally buy it here, but I think if we do get a dip back down to 25.30, there's good support there, good support down to 25.10 ahead of really, really strong support at 2,500. So they're kind of the levels I'm looking at. If we do break this 2,500 and close below it for a couple of days, then we may say there's a temporary top. But personally, I think there will be a small sell-off over the next couple of weeks, and then we'll have a. I still think we're going to have a strong year-end rally.
Well, you've got the FOMC minutes later on today, which could be the that give you a highlight as to where the market's sentiment is and where we go in the short term and potentially rate hikes, etc. But you're right in suggesting that if we do see a continual slowdown and gradual decline in the markets, then there is a lot of significant gaps on the indices, lower and lower and lower. So it could be quite a significant pullback if we do break those key levels that we're currently surfacing around.
Yeah, and you know the market is like an elastic band. Every time we hit a big support, it, you know, it bounce off at the first time. Like the S&P breaks, you know, if we do get down to 2505, you might get a 20-point rally off that level. Then the second time we test it, you might get 10 or 15 point, and then the third time you'll probably trade through it. Then you know that we're in a, you know, that the tide is turned temporarily. But well, as I mentioned earlier on, allegedly the Swiss National Bank of $80 billion invested in the U.S. stock market. They're allegedly the longest, the largest shareholder in Facebook. So it's very hard with a population of 8 million people. So it's very hard to bet against these. You know, the central banks that keep pouring money, and as you mentioned with the Norwegian central bank, the amount of money they have on
the sovereign wealth fund with $1 trillion or whatever it may be. I mean, there just seems to be a buy and hold appetite from the bigger players, and you can't bet against the big shops, I suppose.
Exactly. And are we going to see a rate hike before the end of the year? I don't think so. I think Yellen's just, you know, she's kept it nice and calm. It's interesting to see how the weekly jobless gains. I'm really keeping an eye on that. I know we've had the two effects of the hurricanes Irma and Harvey, which hit the payrolls last Friday. But you know, the lowest forecast people were looking for was kind of flat to maybe 20,000 plus. To come in with 33,000 minus is a warning sign. The weekly jobless claims have all spiked up over the last sort of 6 weeks. I know they stabilised back down to 260, but they haven't broken their 230 low, which goes against the unemployment rate falling to 4.2%. So there's a lot of anomalies out there at the moment.
So basically, who knows? Nobody knows.
Just keep buying the dip, I think, until we break key levels.
Well, I would tend to agree, especially with the US, and I highlighted earlier the US sort of reporting season. Over here, the FTSE, the currency markets are obviously a little bit more interesting based on a lot more headline risk with Theresa May and also what's going on over in Spain, etc. So again, I think there'll be a bit more volatility there. Would you agree?
I would. And the amazing thing with the FTSE is, despite what political pressure has come in, the FTSE just keeps going up. Since Brexit, the FTSE has just gone one way. The weakness of sterling has obviously helped that hugely. But if you look at the DAX hasn't moved, and you know, it spiked 1,000 points off the 5th of September low at 12,020. We got up to, we're trading in the 900s, which looked like we've been trading there for the last sort of six or seven trading sessions. Very quiet. No matter what happens, even the Catalan situation still hasn't knocked the DAX. It still hasn't really knocked the euro. And yet European growth beginning to pick up, as shown by the statistics over the last couple of months.
Well, again, with the Catalan situation last night, you obviously saw at 5 o'clock our time the sort of abstain of anything more formal from the Catalonians. The IBEX suddenly shot up nearly 2% on the back of that. So it would appear that traders, investors are wanting to buy good news.
Yes.
And there is obviously a big disparity between the European markets and the extremities of the US. So potentially a good buying opportunity there.
Yes. I mean, certainly, what the, you know, again, as we mentioned with the central banks, it's just so hard to be short. I am very bearish long term. As I mentioned earlier off air, the Japanese situation in 1988, the Nikkei was trading at 28,000, broke its second standard deviation, traded up to 39,000 a year later. And then 8 months after that, we fell all the way back down to 20,000, 23,000 again. Is the same situation going to be replicated in the US? I don't know. But if it, you know, numbers to watch, if we do melt up, which a lot of people are looking for now, as I said earlier, the third standard deviation at 27.92 and the fourth standard deviation at 33.44, which sounds like complete madness, given this, how our sentiment is at all-time highs. But, you know, we haven't really seen the spike. It's all been very gradual, you know, small moves
small
every day.
Small and steady.
It's, you know, and gaps, that, when the market is breaking gaps, it's leaving the gaps. Normally the S&P would fill any gaps that it leaves, you know, especially for a couple of weeks. But we just tend to be, you know, breaking, you know, break, move up, stop. Small sell-off, move up again, making higher highs all the time, and higher lows, which, you know, which is really key.
Well, it's an interesting market, as you highlight. Brian Noble of TraderNoble.com, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.